Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
God says to the Levites, "I'm not going to give you a tract of land like I did the others. I will be your inheritance." All right, so check it out. Chapter 21, verse 1. "Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites," and do you remember where that comes from? You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. Those 12 sons become the 12 tribes. And Levi was one of Jacob's sons. "Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came near to Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, 'The Lord commanded through Moses,'" remember when Moses said that in the book of Numbers? He said, "to give us cities to dwell in, with their common lands for their livestock." So the children of Israel gave to the Levites from their inheritance and commandments of the Lord these cities in their common lands. So you see within the 12 tribe regions, you'll see those other locations where there was a city, or really kind of a village, really, where there would be a group of Levites. And that was pretty cool, by the way. "Now the lot," verse 4, "came out for the families of the Kohathites." If you didn't know, Levi had three sons: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Kohath was one of the boys. From these three sons, the three groups of Levites that you may see mentioned a time or two, that's where they come from. By the way, Kohath's sister was Jochebed. Does that ring a bell? That's Moses' mom, interestingly enough. The Kohathites were responsible, if you get into the book of Numbers, you know what their job was? When the whole camp was to move, you had to dismantle the courtyard area and the brazen altar and the laver and then the tabernacle itself, and take the boards out of their sockets, their bases, and you had to dismantle it in just a certain way. And because the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was so holy, there was only one guy, one time a year, who could go behind the veil. And the Lord had instructed Moses to attach to the hem of the garment of the high priest little jingle bells. And they would listen for the jingle, jingle, jingle as he moved behind the veil, and he ministered one time a year on the Day of Atonement, and he sprinkled blood on the four horns of the Ark of the Covenant, and then jingle, 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 and then he would slip out very quickly. Why? Because before the cross, the presence of a holy God was a pretty fearful place, and if you didn't do it just right, it was said that they tied a rope or a leather strap around the ankle of the high priest. They would kind of give him some slack, and it was said that they would listen for the jingles, and if the jingles ever stopped, don't go in and get him. Pull him out by the strap. The presence of the Lord was a fearful place because he is so holy. Do we recognize the tremendous blessing we have to come into a place like this and worship him? And to us, we think, man, it sure is cool hanging out in the presence of God, and it is. But before the cross, only one human, one time of year, and he had to be, of course, of the pristine lineage directly descended from Aaron, Moses' brother. And then, of course, he had this amazing series of cleansings, and he had to apply the oil just right, had to wear all the articles just so. Because if one thing was out of place, as God had prescribed, then over you go. Do we realize how glorious it is and what a great privilege it is to come to the house of the Lord? Was there anybody that got through the day, sailed through completely sinless? Well, it wasn't me. And then the thought of, let's go to the house of the Lord and let's go into the Holy of Holies, so to speak, His presence. An Old Testament Levite would say, you can't do that. But we get to say, on this side of the cross, remember the veil that day when Jesus said, it is finished. The veil that separated man from holy God was ripped in half, exposing the holy place of the Lord to anyone who would seek it. I'm a little blown away by tonight specifically about that idea that we get to come sailing in, and no matter where you've been, no matter who you were born to, no matter what your background and upbringing was about, no matter where you were on the internet, no matter where you were with your spouse, no matter what garbage came out of your mouth today, if you want to, come to the house of the Lord and get filled. Oh Lord, teach us to worship You in spirit and in truth. If nobody could go into the holy place, then how did they move it? The Kohathites, when it was ready for their place, they would take this veil and they would unhook it from its little hooks, and then they would walk forward and fold the veil over the Ark of the Covenant. And then they could insert the rods that were through rings on all sides, and they could pick it up, and then they bore the Ark on their shoulders. That was the job of the Kohathites. Pretty rare privilege, I think. And then when they would get there, the Ark of the Covenant would be one of the first articles placed, and then they would reverse the process. And then after the walls were set up, and then the four layers go back over the top, then the Kohathites would pick up the veil, walk backwards, and then rehang the veil on the corners, thus never defiling, so to speak, the Holy of Holies. Pretty cool. And the children of Aaron the priests, who were of the Levites, had 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, and from the tribe of Simeon, and from the tribe of Benjamin. And the rest of the children of Kohath had 10 cities by lot from families of the tribe of Ephraim, tribe of Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. Verse 6. And the children of Gershon had 13 cities. Remember, he's one of the other sons. From the families of the tribe of Issachar, and from the tribe of Asher, and from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh there in Bashan, which is today the Golan Heights. Verse 7, the children of Merari, the other son of Levi, according to their families, had 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun. And the children of Israel gave these cities with their common lands by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. So they gave, verse 9, from the tribe of the children of Judah, and from the tribe of the children of Simeon, there in the south, these cities which are designated by name, which were for the children of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, for the lot was theirs first. Verse 11, and they gave them Kirjath Arba. Arba is the father of Anak, which we know as Hebron. That's one of your cities of refuge, in the mountains of Judah, with the common land surrounding it. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for his possession. Verse 13. Thus the children of Aaron, the priests, gave them Hebron, one of the cities of refuge, with its common land, a city of refuge for the slayer, Libna with its common land, Jatir with its common land. Join me down to verse 20. And the families of the children of Kohath, the Levites, the rest of the children of Kohath, even they had cities for their lot from the tribe of Ephraim. For they gave them Shechem, that's another one of those six cities of refuge. Skip to verse 27. Also the children of Gershon, of the families of the Levites, from the other half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan, that's one of your six cities we looked at last week, in Bashan. By the way, Golan Heights is named after this city. Skip down to verse 31. Helkah was with its common lands, and Rehob with its common lands, four cities. Verse 32, and from the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh. That's another one of the cities of refuge in Galilee. Verse 36, and the tribe of Reuben, Bezer. That's another one of the cities of refuge with its common land. Verse 38, and from the tribe of Gad, Ramoth, that was also a city of refuge. Verse 41. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities. Hey, 48 cities is a multiple of 12. 12 is the number of God's government. In the book of Revelation, we see 24 elders. Why 24? 12 multiples of 12, God's government. How many tribes of Israel are there? There are 12. So 12 is God's number of government. In the book of Revelation, what is it, around chapter 7, I think it is, when the 144,000 Jewish evangelists are sealed supernaturally, what is that a multiple of? 12. 12,000 each from the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why those numbers are significant for government. Verse 43. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand, and not a word failed. If you have a highlighter, not a word failed. I think there are some in the room tonight that need to remember this promise. Not a word failed. Now, were there still Jebusites in the area? Yeah, it's going to take King David a couple generations later to run them out. And are there some other cellulites and mosquito bites? Are they all around the promised land? The main campaign, the main battle was won, a 7-year campaign. But there still remain little pockets of resistance. Some of the usurpers were like, I'm not leaving. And the spirit-filled life is similar. Has the battle been won? Yes, on the cross of Calvary. So let's move into the land flowing with promise, flowing with milk and honey. And it should be all smooth sailing from here, right? No, there's some usurpers left. Lord, why didn't you mop up those guys too? God says that's how it is in the promised land, the spirit-filled life. Until I have given you a brand new body that has no propensity, no cognition of sin, if I gave you all free time, all the time, you know what happens with idle hands? So I've left a couple of the usurpers that are squatting on God's promises. And they shake their big, ugly whatever at you, and they scream at you, and they say, this is mine. You have to keep saying, no, this land has been bought with a price. This is God's spirit-filled life, and if God left you a usurper in my life, then it is for my good. Caleb figured it out. There'll be bread for us. bread is the nourishment of growing in the things of God, comes on the diet of trials and tribulations. Can I get at least a little amen on that one? Hey, when you're in your Spirit-filled life, and maybe the Jebusites haven't been ousted just yet, and they're screaming at you, ha ha, I win. You're a holic thing. You think you're going to get free of that. Ha ha, we own you. Don't buy it. Highlight verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. And don't forget, what does Israel mean? Governed by God. Jacob is renamed by God. His name, Jacob, means usurper or heel catcher, a salesman, politician, if you will. And that's exactly who Jacob was until the wrestling match that night. And the hip is touched. Ow! In searing pain of that large joint suddenly pulled out of its sockets and all the strong tendons screaming at the state of almost rupture. Ow! What did you do that for, Lord? And if you remember the fight, it was the Lord in the tent there with Jacob. Now, no man has seen God at any time and lived, so it's not the Father, so to speak. So who likely was that Jacob encountered that night in the tent? Probably Jesus. And to refresh in your memory, they were wrestling. Who was winning the wrestling match? Jacob was. Wait a minute, isn't Jesus all-powerful? He certainly is. But for some reason, Jesus allowed Jacob, heel catcher, excuse maker, to go, I gotcha! I'm in control! That's when Jesus touched his hip. Pop! Whoa! If the Lord recognizes that you are holding on to something a little too tight, and he's tried, pardon me. How about, and we holding on too tight and we're winning, so to speak, the wrestling match. The flesh is seemingly having the victory. Are you okay with God touching something in your life that may unsettle you a little or a lot? And Jacob forever limped. Why did God leave a limp in his life? Don't know, but I'll bet a big part of it was every time he felt the twinge of that old injury, it reminded him, who's driving, Jacob? It's at that time that God changes Jacob's name from Jacob to, do you remember? Israel. Israel means governed by God. And every other place in your Old Testament and New Testament, I believe as well, whenever God changes the name of someone from Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, the Bible never uses the old name again except for Jacob. And it's a fascinating study if you're sensitive to it. You'll see him sometime after the wrestling match, and Israel said, well, that's when he's being governed by God. But sometimes Jacob slips up and he gets back into the old habits and he's Jacob again. And sometimes he's Israel. And sometimes even within the same verse. And I love it when God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and all the Jacobs. Can I get an amen for that? When we are the house of Israel, when we are governed by God, here's your promise. Not a word will fail of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to you. Amen? We're pretty much done with the text, but I came across something today that really blessed me. I hope you'll indulge me a little bit. Now, I want you to see there that every city, every village, There will be Levites all up and down the length and the width of the nation Israel. Pretty cool. Why is that? Though there was only one Jerusalem or Shiloh where the temple or the tabernacle, really the Ark of the Covenant, was, everyone had access to the Word of God from every tribe because they're learning from the Levites. Who were the Levites? They studied, taught, copied, and faithfully guarded God's Word, the Bible. And from this tribe here, what did they spend much of their life doing? Their whole existence was to train and make ready for their 2-week deployment in the city there of either Shiloh or later in Jerusalem. And so that's really what they did. I mean, they raised livestock and they had families, to be sure. But the Levites were pretty much pointed from birth for one solid and specific mission. Learn God's Word. Because when it's time for you to minister, you better have everything ready. All the truths down pat. And how cool would it be that no matter where you were, you weren't far from the Word of God in the form of these Levitical people. Is that pretty cool? Can you see where God's wisdom is on that one? In other words, in Sparks, you had several places to go. You had some Prater Levites, you had some Vista Boulevard Levites. You see how it works? Within walking distance. We're done here in Joshua. Go to the left a little bit. Let me show you something in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 49. When Jacob is about to die, he calls in his 12 boys, one after the other, and he pronounces a blessing and prophecy on every single one of them. Skip down to verse number 5, and let's see what he says about Simeon and Levi. Verse 5, chapter 49, Genesis. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Well, we knew that. They are instruments of cruelty in their dwelling place. Verse 6, let not my soul enter their counsel. Thanks, Dad. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. I don't want to be connected with these fellows. For in their anger they slew, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Let me sort of put that in layman's terms. When they get to the promised land, they are going to be scattered. That's Simeon, the tribe of Simeon, and the tribe of Levi. Now we know about Simeon, as you see to the bottom of the map, they were given an allotment of land, and well, don't they have theirs? By the time King David shows up, Simeon does not exist anymore. As we saw a couple weeks ago, Simeon didn't like their allotment, and they kind of complained about it. This is what you gave us? We don't like it. And eventually, most of them pick up and leave, and they are absorbed in the northern tribes, specifically Ephraim. By the time King David shows up, there really is no Simeon or semblance thereof. But the Levites, they have their cities. They don't have an allotment of land, so even still, Jacob's prophecy is true. What happened? Let's check it out. Go a couple more chapters to the left. Chapter 34 in the book of Genesis. Let's find out what happened. What was that about? Chapter 34, Genesis. Look at verse 1. Now Dinah had a talk show. And is there anyone in this room that remembers Dinah talk show? I remember the Dinah Shore show. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob. He had 12 sons, but here is a daughter. She probably had more, but here's one. Went out to see the daughters of the land. Now you have to know where they're at. They're at a place called Shechem.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.